Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus, the one that we are so privileged to gather around and to worship together. You know, I get up basically every Sunday at home, and I know everybody there pretty much, but I don't feel like I know all of you very well. But it is good to be here, and I'm excited to be here. And I really enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, the discussion there in Proverbs 31. And I could have went on into the message, and I wouldn't have been too bothered by that. But we're thankful to be here this morning. And we bring greetings and welcome from Santa Fe Mennonite Church there in Lake Butler, Florida. And Jason said to tell all of you hello this morning. I think he really wished he could be here too. I think he might be missing you guys a little bit. So pray for Jason this week or send him a message or something. So it's good to be here, and it's really good to have him at home to take care of the needs there at our church today. Turn on your Bibles to John chapter 21. Many years ago, Isaac Newton wrote these words in a letter. He said this, "If I see farther than others, it is because I stand on the shoulders of giants." And I want to tell you this morning, friends, that I, along with our church, are standing on the shoulders of giants. And I want to thank you personally and from our church for allowing one of your giants to come and live and teach at our church. The dimension and stability that Jason has brought to our group, words fail me. Another man by the name of Hal Abelson reversed these words and, quote, says this, "If I have not seen as far as others, it is because there were giants standing on my shoulders." This morning, from this bench here to the back, you have an opportunity and an obligation, and you are a giant to someone else. Somebody is standing on your shoulders. Fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, friends, uncles, aunts, grandmas and grandpas, youth, children. All through life, you will either be standing on someone else's shoulders or they will be standing on yours. A couple of weeks ago, your youth group came to Florida as giants. They blessed our elderly couple, our church, with a lot of firewood. They cleaned and groomed our churchyard and bushes and cleaned the church, and they shared an inspirational time of singing and scripture with us. Yesterday, here in this congregation, some giants took some young men out to deer hunt. A nice 8-point buck adorned the wall in the bedroom that we stayed in last night. Last evening, a giant opened her heart and her home to one of our own. You know, the need for giants is great in the world that we live in. And it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what you're capable of, where you've been, or even maybe even what you've done, you still have a privilege and an opportunity to be a giant in someone's life. And I don't necessarily have a exact group of people that I am gearing toward this morning. I started out as maybe a message towards the youth, But I realized the farther I went, the more I needed it myself. But the reality in life is that there is going to come a time in your life, whether you're on the front bench here or halfway back or all the way in the back, where you're going to find yourself in a place where all you have is questions and no answers. And you're going to need some giants, some shoulders to stand on. And I have been, as God has, I'm not sure if it's a blessing. I'm going to take it as a blessing. But I generally am pretty optimistic or outgoing or happy-go-lucky, maybe a little bit naively sometimes. But you know, there's times in my life when I was backed up against a wall and I didn't really know where to turn. And that has really been alleviated with the giant that you as a church allowed to come to our church. And I'm not elevating Jason as someone that is not a human or that is bigger than you here. But he is someone to help and to stand and work. So young people here this morning, maybe on the first two benches here, maybe you've never been at this place in life where you really don't know which way to turn. And that's great. But I got some very bad news for you. You're going to sometime. It's just life. You're going to find yourself backed up against a wall and no way out. Let's start reading in verse 1 here of John 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into his ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So we want to look into this story a little bit here and see if we can find some inspiration, maybe some encouragement. And I don't want this to be a negative sermon at all. I want to come out of this feeling like we can grab hold of God and pick ourselves back up and move on. So, like I said earlier, I don't know you very well this morning. Not all of you. I know some of you quite well. And some of you are huge giants in my life. And I don't know what you're going to face in life. I don't know what you're facing now. But there's a couple scenarios or situations I want to just briefly mention that you may face in life. There could be financial issues. There could be a career change. There could be struggle in church life, relationships, home life, personal life, besetting sins. Anything you can add to this list that you will face in your life. Things that as we try to work through, we run up against a wall. Things God has allowed us to go through and we're trying to understand and find that all things work together for good. We find ourselves at a place where we just don't know where to go. Do we crumble in a heap on the ground? Or do we rise up and face the challenge? Back to our text here. Let's go back here to the first part of chapter 21 here. The disciples, this starts out here, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Is it safe to say that the disciples, where they found themselves in the context of this chapter, is it safe to say that they were in a little bit of a mess here? They were up against the wall. They had just went through a very painful and a very emotional and a time of intense grief as they watched their Lord suffer in the garden. As they seen those great drops of blood, as it were, as it says. And as they watched in horror, as people come and snatched him from them. As they seen him scourged and beaten, blood dripping everywhere, spit on. They seen him jam that crown of thorns on his head. They watched him carry that cruel cross. You know, these disciples heard the words come out of Jesus' mouth. It is finished. And he died. You know, they had run with fresh energy and courage to the tomb, only to see it empty. In chapter 20, Jesus had appeared out of nowhere, showed him his wounds, had a few comforting words with him. So at the end of chapter 20, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." And I would love to know what all that was. But after these things is where they were now. Life as they knew it was over. You know, that's us sometimes. Life as we know it is over. Sometimes very quickly. Sometimes over time. But imagine the feeling they had as they gathered there together. I think it was probably, I don't know, maybe six or so of them. They gathered together there in this room, maybe at one of their houses. I'm not sure where they were. And they were talking together. And they were trying to balance each other out, maybe trying to figure out what to do. And one of them said, "Well, Jesus is gone. We don't really have him here as our leader anymore. We got to eat. You know, we got to, let's go back to work. Let's go fishing." And everybody said, "Oh yeah, let's go fishing." So they all six, you know, maybe got a little bit of a pep in their step, maybe got a little more courage. And they said, let's go back to doing what we used to do. Let's go fishing. So verse 3, it says, "They went forth and entered into a ship, and that night they caught nothing." Now they weren't out like Joe and Ernie are on the lake, you know, fishing, enjoying the smooth water, and enjoying a bite from a good-sized bass. You know, they were out coping with life. Maybe they had some overdue bills from being in mission work so long. I don't know. I don't want to read too much in here. But I don't think they were fishing for pleasure. They fished all night and they didn't catch anything. You know, when we're up against the wall, a lot of times we are wore slam out, we're exhausted, and we're discouraged. And I think that's where they found themselves as the dawn was approaching. After these things, as they processed some of the things that had happened to them, they fished all night, never even got a bite, I'm guessing. You know, as that beautiful sun started to come up, as the mist on the water started to kind of be visible to them, you know, I don't think they probably saw that. They were tired and they were hungry and they were discouraged. And it was slowly getting light, was fixing to get hot. The fish probably were going to even bite worse than they did in the night. Verse 4 and 5, it says, "When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." So they looked up, they're discouraged, all six of them. I'm guessing they're not having a lot of conversation. And they look out and they see a man standing on the shore, and they have no idea who he is. Obviously, they were close enough to see him and to hear him. And he asked them, "Hey, did you catch anything?" Discouragement deepens. You know, they yell back, "No, you know, we was out here all night. We haven't caught anything." Then this man, they have no idea who he is. He says, "Cast your nets on the right side of the ship." Now, I don't spend a lot of time telling Joe how to fish, because he knows how to fish a lot better than I do. But here we have this man. They had no idea who he was. These guys are pros. They do this for a living. They are commercial fishermen. And this guy is saying, "Cast your nets on the other side." They had threw that net out probably 100 times, I don't know, maybe more. And this ain't a little net, this is a big net. And they were tired and they were hungry and they were probably just about bitter to tears. They wanted them to untangle their rigging, because if you'll study, if from what I gathered, you don't even belong to fish on the other side of the boat. You're supposed to fish on the left side of the boat. That's where everything is. It's over here. They had to undo their rigging, and they had to drag them big old, they weren't pretty little nets like we use now, cast nets, you do the fancy little thing. They were big, thick rope things. And they had to bring them over to this side and figure out how to hook them up around all the whatever. I don't think there was a lot of courage in what they was doing. And I don't even know why they did it, because it really didn't make sense. When you're backed up against the wall and you've tried everything you know to try, sometimes you have to simply go another direction. Sometimes you simply need to cast your net on the side that don't even make sense, humanly speaking. We want to look a little bit at these disciples, these six men. Maybe it was more, I'm not sure. And what they were as people. You know, as they walked with Jesus, and as they was with Jesus and he taught them, they obviously learned something very valuable. The first thing that we want to see here, and as you consider your life, as I consider my life, the first thing that I want to see here is humility. What would have happened, do you think, if those disciples would have said, "Excuse me? Do you not realize that I am a professional fisherman? And you're telling me how to run my life? Do you know who I am? You have no idea what I've been through, my friend over there on the bank. You don't know what we've been through. You don't obviously know how to fish either. Never mind, I'm up against the wall. I'm discouraged. I'm tired. I'm hungry." Humility to listen to advice, even when it's not what we want to hear. You know, as we think about the opposite of humility, and as you think about pride a little bit, you know, pride has kept many people crumbled at the bottom of the wall that they was backed up against. Maybe I'm struggling in my finances. Maybe I've racked up a long list of credit card debt. I'm in a mess. I can't get ahead. I can't make my payments. I want to be well thought of. And I don't want to admit to anybody that I need help. That if I don't change the way I spend my money, I'm going to be a mess. Humility. Humility is a key in being willing to cast your net on the other side. Another thing they did was work. When we're up against whatever in life, we must be willing to work. As these tired and discouraged friends looked at each other, and they tried to understand what in the world this guy's talking about, and as they looked at these heavy nets all wet, and I don't know what all they thought. But they grabbed them, and they moved them to this side, and they moved things around, made sure everything wasn't tangled up, and they cast them out off that other side. It took effort. Another way to stay up against the wall is to simply give up. Not put your teeth into it. Not put your shoulders into it. Not listen to advice, but give up. Third thing they did was they simply obeyed. They still didn't know it was Jesus. You know, we often find ourselves at the end of the road or up against a wall when simple obedience to the words of Jesus are all we need to pick ourselves back up and move forward. Why is it so hard to follow the simple teachings of Jesus in our lives as Christians? If you love me, keep my commandments, a verse we know all by heart, but it's so hard to do. If God's word says it, let's do it. Let's cast our net on the right side. Let's change what we're doing. Let's start down a new path. Verse number 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. When they found out, when that net was filled where they couldn't even pull it into their boat, and they realized that it was Jesus, Peter kind of forgets himself a little bit. And he jumps over the side and he heads for the shore. He doesn't even wait for the boat to land. You know, what caused Peter to do this? Think back to his life earlier. Let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, I just want to read, let's read 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as a people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. When we're up against the wall, we need to realize or reflect on what God has done for us in the past. You know, what made Peter jump out of that boat and frog walk to the bank as hard as he could go? What made that happen? I believe he remembered what Jesus had done for him personally. And if you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you can remember what God has done for you personally. Remember the giants that he used to walk with you, and it will help you to get up and to move on. Back in our text in John 21. Back here in verse 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring in the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. You know, as you think about Jesus here, he knew what all those disciples were facing out there in that water. He knew the conversation back in the house before they had went out and went fishing. He knew their attitudes, their hearts, their discouragement, their fears. He knew everything. And he had some really, really neat words here. He says, come and dine. Jesus is interested in your life this morning. When you're back up against the wall, spread out, concrete behind you, nowhere to go. He is interested in your life. Come and dine. Come and tell me all about it, is what Jesus is telling you. He cares about your business. He cares about your students. He cares about your children. He cares about your health. Come and dine. Come and talk to me about it. Sometimes the answer to our greatest needs are just on the other side. Wade Hughes Sr. tells the story of a weak and sickly man. His condition grew worse, but he could not afford a doctor. He lived deep back in the woods in an old cabin. And out in the front of his cabin was a huge rock. One night he had a vision. God told him to go out and push the massive rock in front of his home all day long. Day after day until he told him to stop. So the man got up early the next morning. He was excited. He ran out there and he pushed on this rock as hard and as long as he could. And he pushed harder. And the vision was so real that he kept getting up the next morning and running out and pushing against this rock. All day long he would push against it. Days rolled into weeks and weeks into months. And he faithfully pushed against that rock. After 8 months of pushing the rock, the man was getting tired. And in his tiredness, he started to doubt this dream that was so real. So he took a ruler and he measured from the porch to the rock. And after pushing the rock all day, he would measure. And he pushed it for 2 weeks and he kept measuring. And the rock never moved. He was tired. He was up against the wall. His energy was gone. He had worn himself down physically, so he thought. So he sat on his porch on the steps. And he just sat there and cried. And you know, that's sometimes where we get in life. We back up against a wall. We don't know where to go. We just sit there and cry. As the sun was setting, Jesus came and sat down next to the man and said, son, why are you so sad? The man replied, Lord, you know how sick and weak I am. And that vision you gave me, it gave me all this false hope. What are you doing? I've pushed day after day after day, and the rock hasn't moved. Jesus kindly told him, I never told you to move the rock. I told you to push against the rock. Jesus told the man to step in front of a mirror and look at himself. As an act of obedience, the man got up and stepped in front of a mirror. And he was amazed at what he seen. Instead of a weak and sickly man, he's seen a strong, muscular man staring back in that mirror. And then he started to remember, you know, I haven't coughed at night for months. And he started to remember that I've felt better than I ever have. And it was all because that he was pushing on the rock. Then the man realized the plan of God was not to change a position of the rock, but to change him. God's plan was not for the rock, but for him. Understand the plan. Trust what he is saying to you. Listen to God. Do what he says. Be obedient. And it's not nearly so important that the rock in your life or the wall that you're backed up it to is moved as it is for you to keep pushing against whatever it is. We may never understand why we run up what we do in life. We may never understand the pain of loss, the reality of failed health, the reality of financial ruin. But may we look up on the shoreline and find Jesus and hear him say, come and dine. I'm interested in hearing about it. I have answers. It's on the other side. All is well. Again, I don't know you very well. But as I studied God's word, studied this story, I was a little ashamed at what I do when I'm up against the wall. I was a little ashamed of what I do when my rock don't move, or when I think God should do something different. But I trust that each of us can change up our plan, our game a little bit, if we can use those words in church. Move from this side to this side. Find another way. Find a different way, and find it in Christ. Shall we stand together for prayer?